Viewing pain as a disease symptom rather than a disease itself has contributed to the neglect of this condition in the world of public health. So argue a pair of authors in the November 2011 edition of BMC Public Health. One of those authors, Daniel Goldberg of East Carolina University, joins us now on the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. Daniel, explain why viewing pain as a disease rather than a disease symptom would move us forward in the treatment of pain.
There are a number of answers to that. It's actually a very old problem. There are some historians who have documented it as far back as about 1,000 years, that you had medieval physicians, for example, who were concerned about the disease that caused the pain rather than the pain itself. And that's what really is the problem. What happens is pain is viewed as simply an effect. It's simply a symptom. And so the idea is, well, what we really need to do is fix the disease that's causing the symptoms, and then the pain will go away. And what this has led to is a sort of a relegation, a view of pain as somehow less important than the disease in itself. And that has resulted in a lot of problems in thinking about the importance of treating pain in its own right.
Why would we see improvements in pain treatment within a public health framework?
I think there's a number of different answers to that. I think first is, pain is properly, if you see it as a public health phenomenon, then you might adopt what I would call population-level measures to help deal with it, right? I mean, you can see pain as an individual medical problem, and then you're just going to treat it with individual clinical answers. But the problem is that we have a lot of clinical tools that are actually safe and effective for remediating pain, and so the problems with treating pain don't seem to be a lack of any sort of technical interventions. I don't think it's as much a clinical problem. You really have to think about it as one of sort of public and population health, and you have to look at sort of the root causes of our inability to treat pain globally, because it's all over the world in both the developed and developing world. And so I think it's very important to think about this from a collective sort of public health standpoint, population health standpoint, rather than as a sort of a clinical, medical, ethical problem.
You touch on how the medical model for pain treatment focuses on providing medications, and that falls short of addressing the problem, correct?
It does, exactly. There's a really nice quote which comes from Ichiro Kawachi, who's a social epidemiologist at Harvard, and he says this in the award-winning documentary on natural causes. He says, just because aspirin can be used to treat fever doesn't mean that the lack of aspirin is the cause of fever. Right? And that's sort of the way to think about it, is just because we can use opioids and a lot of other tools to treat pain doesn't mean that the lack of opioids is the cause of global pain. And it isn't. We have a lot of good evidence that primary factors that drive chronic illnesses and comorbidities like pain or diseases like pain are the social and economic conditions in which people live and work. And so, focusing narrowly on opioids doesn't really address these, what people call these root distal causes, distal being sort of remote from the onset of the disease itself. And so that's what you really have to do if you want to reduce the sort of global burden of pain. And that's a public health, that's a population health approach. That's not a medical model approach.
So you're arguing, then, that public health by its very nature takes a broader approach to this particular problem.
It is. It is a broader approach. I mean, one way of thinking about this is it's influential. This comes from two sort of public health researchers named Link and Phelan. And what they say is that these social conditions are fundamental causes of disease, which is a good way of thinking about it. So sometimes what I try to do is I try to imagine this sort of a long sort of a line, right? And at the bottom of the line is the onset of disease itself, so like chronic pain. And at the very, very top point of the line is root social causes, right? And there are other causes that happen all along this line. And so the argument is, from a public health or a population health vantage point, if you really, really want to fix the problem, you've got to go all the way to the top. You've got to go all the way to the root causes. And that's not what we have generally done if we think about pain, whether domestically or globally. We've focused on these sort of much more proximal, much closer, much narrower causes, for example, like treatments and medications and things like that. And in this article, we argue that you've got to take a broader vantage point. You have to think about it from this public health, this fundamental cause vantage point.
Do other countries, with their approach to public health, do a better job of pain management than in the U.S.?
That's a very good question, Laurel. No, to be honest with you, is the answer. I mean, As far as we can tell, chronic pain is really a global problem. There are probably some places that do it better than the U.S., but there are a lot of places all over the world, in both the developed and the developing world, interestingly enough, that seem to undertreat pain. Now, in the developing world, it's sort of a more complicated question, because there you could argue that they don't really have access to the kinds of technical interventions we do in the developed world that could really treat pain. So even though they don't treat pain very well in the developing world, it might be for different reasons. But all over the developed world, almost everywhere we've cared to look, we find significant problems in treating pain. I mean, even in places which have very socialized healthcare systems, Denmark and France and Germany and Japan and Canada, lots of problems in treating pain. So I would say even in those places, which are more collectivist than the U.S., they probably still don't think about pain as much from a public health standpoint. It's still perceived as largely a medical problem. And that's why Dr. McGee and myself argue that it's a serious problem.
If public health is able to step in tomorrow in the way you suggest, how would pain treatment change?
I'm not so sure that pain treatment itself would change, although there might be some changes in that. For example, one of the things we argue is that pain stigma is a very serious problem, and we know this is generally true. And as it actually turns out, stigma is very bad for your health. In other words, it turns out to, even if we deny that it's an ethical problem, which we shouldn't because it is, right, it actually turns out to have produce negative health outcomes, right? So being stigmatized turns out to be really bad for your health. So that might be one thing. If we think about stigma as a sort of a social determinant of health, then we can implement measures to try and reduce pain stigma. And there's lots of different examples about that, but it would require taking much more of a sort of collective viewpoint about how we could do that. For example, you can implement anti-discrimination and anti-discrimination provisions and laws and policies. You can do a lot of educational interventions on sort of the local level, and you can do those in developing and developed world places. So that would be one way I would look for it, is a reduction in pain stigma. But I think, some of the other kinds of things are some of the other kinds of things that would be important just for improving sort of global health in general and compressing global health inequities. So reducing inequalities, for example, both within and across the globe, that is a prime sort of public health idea, I think, or at least a population health idea. And there's very little doubt that doing so would substantially improve pain treatment across the globe. And so those are just examples, sort of reduction of stigma, compression of global health inequities. Those would be the kinds of things we'd want to focus on, which are very different than improving access to opioids, for example.
Pain is such an enormous problem. Does that cause people to hesitate because they don't know where to start?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I mean, I think I absolutely agree with that. I mean, I think it seems that it's such an enormity. There's no sort of idea on what to handle. And actually, I think that also explains the dominance of the medical model, at least in parts, right? I mean, because it's such an enormous problem, we sort of tend to pick the low-hanging fruit, right? I mean, what can we do? Compression of global health inequities, well, that sounds pretty difficult, right? On the other hand, maybe we can implement some international or global sort of policies with regard to opioids, which the World Health Organization has been doing for about 20 years, for example. And so we pick that low-hanging fruit because we see that it's a convenient place to start. But unfortunately, that low-hanging fruit, by definition, is disconnected from the roots of that tree, basically. I think that's what happens. It's understandable reasons why people focus on these sort of narrow places, but by doing so, they sort of cut off the possibility of effectiveness at the knees. That said, I think there are places to start, and we try to offer some examples. I think addressing pain stigma is one place to start, for example. There are other places you can start. You can implement policies related to housing. You can implement policies related to education, related to sort of occupation. All of these kinds of things have been shown to compress health inequities and improve population health, especially in terms of chronic illness, which is going to impact chronic pain.
Daniel Goldberg of East Carolina University. He is the co-author of an article entitled Pain as a Global Public Health Priority in the November 2011 issue of BMC Public Health. For more information, visit biomedcentral.com. That's biomedcentral.com. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the BioEthics Channel.